As Congress continues its investigation of the Enron Corporation, the energy company's former head says he's being treated unfairly. Last night, former Enron CEO Jeffrey Skilling told CNN's Larry King that Congress is acting as judge and jury in its probe of Enron's collapse. He said no one should expect a chief executive to know everything that goes on inside a company.
Does a CEO of McDonald's company go and close out the cash drawers of every store every night? Does the president of General Motors go down and check out as the shift punches out and changes? You just can't do that. You have to have systems and people in place to manage. And you rely on those systems and you rely on those controls and you rely on the people.
Earlier this week, Skilling appeared for the second time before a congressional committee investigating the Enron debacle. And members of the Senate Commerce Committee were openly skeptical about his testimony. Joining me now is NPR's Scott Horsley. Scott, Skilling says he's the victim of election year politicking. Is he?
Well, Corby, if Congress is, as Mr. Skilling says, acting as judge and jury, so far the judgment has been pretty unfavorable to him. On Tuesday, Byron Dorgan, who's with the Senate Commerce Committee, said flatly he has great difficulty believing Skilling's testimony. And then on Thursday, the House Commerce Committee sent Mr. Skilling a letter saying it had documents that appeared to raise serious questions about the accuracy of what he'd told the committee.
Scott, what are those questions?
Well, the committee's particularly concerned about Skilling's involvement in what are called the Raptor transactions. These are some of those off-balance sheet deals that Enron used to keep losses off its books. Skilling had told the committee last month when he testified that he had no knowledge that the transactions were designed to conceal losses and that he didn't do anything to withhold information from Enron's board of directors. Now, that contradicts what some of his subordinates have said. They say that Skilling himself was the ultimate decision maker, that he was aware of what was going on with the Raptor transactions, and that he approved it.
And did the committee believe the subordinates?
Well, it certainly they're leaning that way. In their letter to Skilling, the lawmakers note that when the Raptor deals came undone, Enron lost some $700 million, which is obviously a pretty big sum. And given that, they say, the idea that Skilling himself was personally involved is highly credible, and his testimony that he was essentially out of the loop, they say, is less so. Now, an internal investigation by Enron's board of directors came to basically the same conclusion. The board's report said, although Skilling denies it, if the account of other Enron employees is accurate, Skilling both approved a transaction to conceal losses and withheld important information from the board of directors. On Larry King last night, Skilling defended himself and said, hey, does the CEO of McDonald's go out and close out the cash drawer at every store? But clearly the committee feels with $700 million at stake, there's more than a few stray Big Macs that we're talking about here.
Or Happy Meals. The stakes are way bigger for plaintiffs who've lost tens of billions of dollars. And there's talk this week of a settlement offer.
That's right. The offer comes from Arthur Andersen, the accounting firm, which audited Enron's books and also played a role in structuring some of the off-balance sheet partnerships. Andersen reportedly has offered investors $750 million, a third of which would come from its insurance carriers, and then the other $500 million would come from Andersen itself over the next 5 years.
Are investors interested?
Well, the University of California, which is the lead plaintiff in the lawsuits against Enron, says that it's too soon to be talking settlement. But certainly the investors have to at least give this some consideration. The fact is Enron itself is bankrupt. The executives have some wealth that investors can go after, but Arthur Andersen's really the deepest pocket out there. So what investors have to ask themselves is how much can they get from the accounting firm? Obviously, $750 million is a small amount compared to what was lost, but if the investors push too hard, Andersen could just follow Enron into bankruptcy.
Now, besides any civil fines, Scott, there's also a criminal investigation going on. And how's that proceeding?
Well, the Justice Department may be getting a break there. There were reports this week of negotiations with Enron's former treasurer, Ben Glisson, who might serve as a cooperating witness in exchange for immunity or at least leniency. And a former prosecutor I spoke with said having an inside guide like that could be essential to the government in trying to make a fraud case against Enron.
Could it last for a long time?
I think we're going to be talking about Enron for some time to come. One place you're not going to be seeing the Enron name, however, is over the ballpark in Houston. The Astros this week repurchased the naming rights to the field, and for the time being, it's going to be called Astros Field. However, the Smithsonian has started gathering Enron items for a future exhibit. So far, they've got a coffee mug that promotes the company's retirement plan and an Enron ethics manual.
To display.
That's right. Presumably in mint condition.
NPR's Scott Horsley. Thank you so much, Scott.
Good to be with you.